you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. That's right, truecrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on orders, $75 and up, 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows, and if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to truecrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, truecrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
That's right, this is the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. I'm Otis B. Dreads, riding shotgun with me, the one SJ Slender Moo. Moo. How are you, SJ?
Moo. I'm doing all right.
Not even sure
I'm staying
how.
Staying alive. Staying alive. Staying alive.
Oh, man. No, we're off to a great start. I don't even know how you got that name, SJ Slender Moo Moo. I think the one, Don Skirl, I think he kind of may have come up with that with some encouraging for me, because I think it's funny. So it kind of, I guess, stuck. Speaking of our third party, Don Skirl, he mouthed off a little bit to one of the white coats, and SJ, you know exactly what that'll get you. But they usually get you the yellow bill, and that's usually not a med of choice because of the heavy sedation effect. I think Don's got a liking for this, and I think he does this purposely.
He might. I mean, those yellow pills are good. I call them night-night pills.
Nighty-night pills.
You take one, you have a dream about Bill Cosby, and you wake up 3 days later like, what the fuck just happened?
And I think he's developed quite a liking to the yellow pills. So, he does certain things that the white coats don't like, and he gets him a yellow pill, and now he is on landscaping and mess hall detail here in the insane asylum. So he, unfortunately, will not be joining us in our discussion of Waverly Hills.
He won't. He's cutting my lawn as we speak.
How's he doing?
Kind of a patchy job, as you would expect.
Patches, the clown. Oh, my. I had to get me a drink of some water there, so yeah, we're going to talk Waverly Hills, episode 62. And speaking of Don, though, real quick, there is a couple YouTube channels I would like to shout out. And, of course, Don's very own group over there on Facebook. That would be Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls.
I am chilled to my core.
Chilled to the bone. That's right. Check him out. Every Saturday night, 8 p.m. his time, I believe, Central. I'll have to double check on that one. But he does watch parties over there. And so check him out. Chiller Presents the Carnival of Souls. And
chilled to the bone. Sorry, I had to do it again.
And you know, of course, you know, everybody knows us here in the Insane Asylum, SJ, as taking a fancy to stories of true crime and serial killers. Hence, you know, our sponsor, TrueCrime7.store. And, you know, we just, you know, they know us that way. We talk about a lot of serial killers here on the podcast. And so, of course, you know, we usually have some go-to places over there on YouTube that, you know, we like to check out, maybe peruse and see if there's any serial killers that we haven't heard of, we haven't talked about, maybe little lesser known ones. And true crime cases, just serial killers. Yeah, true crime as well. There is a difference. One of those YouTube channels is SKD or Serial Killers. Is it Killers Documentaries? Because there's two of them. There's two of them out there, very similar in the channel name. You'll know you have the right one when you see a white creeper bus with SKD on the side of the van. You see SKD. That's how you know you're at the right one. That's one to go check out. You know, just, I don't know, check them out. And... and then we got True Crime, Man's Dark Imagination. And that's one that you, SJ, you've done a little bit of narration over there. You know, a couple little, you know, short, brief introductions, I guess you could say. You know, 15, 20-minute long videos about different serial killers over there. So if you want to hear SJ's narration, which, you know, you did a great job. Great job over there on your last one. Yeah, so check that out, guys. True Crime, Man's Dark Imagination on YouTube. And with that, this is almost, you know, I was thinking about this, SJ. This episode now is almost like a two part twos of previous episodes all wrapped in the one. Because as I mentioned, I've done episode on Waverly Hills before, and now it's like we're doing like almost like a part two. And then we've also done, me and Mrs. Dredd a while back also did an episode entitled Are Ghosts Real? And we've been wanting to, there was some let's just say Otis happened, some technical issues when we tried to do a part two. So now it's like a part two of our Ghost Real, because we're going to be all over the place. Not so much, you know, the history of Waverly Hills, of course. You know, we'll hit different points so you get the general idea. I think most people that are into, you know, the discussions about paranormal and things like that are pretty familiar with Waverly Hills, wouldn't you imagine?
I would think so. It's, I mean, of course, one of the most supposedly haunted places
they all are.
On planet Earth, not just here in this country, but anywhere. So yeah,
the entire galaxy.
You would imagine.
Yeah,
the entire universe.
That's right. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time really on the history. We're going to be, you know, bouncing all around. I think this is going to be a fun little discussion. Because, you know, you have, I think, a little bit different, you know, thoughts on the whole ghost thing, if I remember correctly.
Oh, come on. Let's go ahead and kick each other in the balls. Because, you know, I'm a ghost believer and you're a ghost denier.
Well, I'm a skeptic.
Just put it in brass tacks.
I won't say deny.
You're the skeptic.
I'm the skeptic.
And I'm the believer. So, yeah. We have differing opinions about this whole thing. But
so this is going to be fun nonetheless.
Yes. Get your popcorn ready.
That's right. So where do you want to where do you want to start with this? You want to give us a, you know, just a brief rundown on what the hell Waverly Hills is for those who may not by chance know about Waverly Hills. As you mentioned, you look at any list of, like, you know, top 10, top whatever, you know, supposedly haunted places in the United States. And as we, you know, were talking earlier, Waverly Hills is always seems to be up there in the top three, you know, one or two. You know, what's the deal there?
Well, as you know, and as a lot of people listening to this will know, the place started off as a school for and there was a rich man. I don't know his name. I'm horrible at this. I'm horrible at backstory. Major Thomas H. Hayes bought some property. Go ahead. You tell the story, goddammit.
This is so great. I love throwing you under the bus, man.
I know you do.
No, you're
the
right.
The wheels of the bus go round and round over SJ, over SJ.
Was that a speed bump? Nope, that was our host.
Right. Again and again and again.
So, yeah, let's try to pull this train wreck back on the tracks. No, Waverly Hills, yes, you were right. Started out as kind of a, you know, a small little school that, yeah, a very well-to-do individual wanted to build for his daughter. As you mentioned earlier, tried, you know, kind of almost like a private school in a sense. You know, he wanted to make sure his kid, you know, did not mingle with other public school kids, I guess. I don't know. And
social distancing.
Yes, right. At its finest right there, man, to the point he built a whole new fucking school. Well, this, you know, later on down the road, you know, this, you know, turned into not the school itself. It was, I think, just a little small one-room school, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't
Yeah, it was like a framed house.
Yeah.
It was turned into a schoolhouse for, you know, so it's not, it didn't start out as this big looming thing that people think about now when they think about Waverly Hills. Started off as just a little schoolhouse.
Next thing
on some land.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, it just grows into this monstrous building.
Right.
Full of death, disease.
A plague house. Right.
With kids playing on the 5-story roof.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But anyway, this is down in Kentucky. So it's out kind of in the, just surrounded by trees. It's this big, you know, the pictures that you see now of Waverly Hills is what we're talking about. So it's up on this hill, and, you know, just surrounded by trees. They thought, you know, this fresh air up there, not in, like, you know, a big city or whatever, would help the TB patients, somehow bring them back to life or whatever, you know, fresh air. That's all you need. Fresh air and sun. TB has no chance.
Oh, yeah. We're all just plants. We need a little bit of sun, a little wind, a little water, and we'll just be fine and grow forever.
We'll be fine. Right. That's almost, yeah, I mean.
That's kind of how they treated patients.
They did.
Like plants. Just put them out in the sun for a while, and they'll be okay.
They'll be okay. It was horrible, man. As you could, you know, imagine, you know, this building, okay, and this is not just a building, you know, a hospital. If you worked there, you pretty much, I think, had to stay there. It was a quarantine, you know, building through the big, you know, tuberculosis. They call it the White Plague, which they said, you know, the Ohio River and whatnot that runs down through there, they said, you know, was just a fucking breeding ground for, you know, TB at that time. So it ravaged, you know, that part of, you know, Kentucky pretty fucking hard. I mean, they were pretty much packed to the gills, you know, Waverly. And it was, most of them didn't come out. There are a few, you know, stories of, you know, patients that, you know, lived outside of Waverly and didn't, you know, end up going down the chute.
Oh, the fucking chute.
Yeah, good old Death Tunnel. And you know, actually, that sounds like a better place. There's about five, you know, most infamous, you know, ghost stories concerning Waverly Hills. And beans, we just mentioned the Death Tunnel. That is one of the ones on this little list. I thought that, and then this is where we get into the ghost and whatnot. And that's when I want to get to your opinion, you know, about. I'm sure you've watched some quote unquote evidence of, you know, oh, that was a ghost. Did you hear that? It said, I'm going to kill you, SJ. Didn't you hear that? You didn't hear that? Anyway.
No, I just heard you choking on cock there.
Oh, my God. All right. That took a turn. The Death Tunnel. You want to talk about the Death Tunnel? What is this Death Tunnel?
Well, the Death Tunnel. Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a place, a tunnel, where you would basically take the dead bodies and just kind of shovel them away. But it's more than that. It's a huge labyrinthian kind of stretch underneath Waverly Hills, or as a part of the building that was designed for death. Like, here's where you take your dead bodies, and there's a chute at the end of the tunnel that just, you know, drop the dead body, I guess, into the back of a flatbed truck back in the day when it was happening. I don't know. Kind of reminds me of the Toxic Avenger.
Oh, yeah.
The truck just happens to be driving by, and a dead infected body drops into it. But that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but they were kind of elaborate, though, because they would put them in, you know, like these, I don't know if they were like gurneys, you know, on fucking, when they had a winch system that would, you know, roll these, you know, bodies down, you know, this chute. And then I guess according to what the family wanted to do, if the family claimed them or whatever, well, they would be, you know, shot into a, you know, fucking hearse and taken to wherever, you know, the family wanted. A lot of times there wasn't a lot of, you know, family members that were coming, so they had their own on-site cemetery, you know, burial ground for, you know, those who just didn't get, you know, retrieved by any surviving members.
But it makes you wonder if these bodies shouldn't have been just burned instead, because obviously this story of the Waverly Hills place has a lot of context in what's going on right now. Like, do we bury our bodies or burn them like dead people?
Right.
Like, how much of that sickness still remains in the body?
Very true.
After death.
I didn't think about that. Although when Waverly Hills just came to my mind, I was like, man, that just sounds like, you know, we could do it, you know, a pretty decent discussion on it. But what really struck me odd, like you had mentioned, there's some similarities, you know, to what, you know, we're dealing with now, you know, the whole corony. And, you know,
okay.
I mean, it just seems, you know, I see a lot of similarities anyway. I mean, you know, the death toll in that area, you know, you watch some of these documentaries, it'll show old newspaper, you know, headlines where, you know, X amount dead today or in past 36 hours or, you know, something. Same shit we see now. So,
right.
Yeah, it's, that makes sense to take and burn them versus, you know, I mean, how long, you know, would that, you know, virus or whatnot live in, you know, rotting corpse, I guess. I don't know. Can it escape? We have little zombie viruses.
Well, if you take dead sick people and bury them right outside the sanatorium, you have to think, you know, if the virus exists in the dead bodies, then you're just burying,
the virus.
Virus bombs.
Right.
Out in the backyard and letting people wander out there throughout the day to get some sun and everything.
Roll around.
Makes you wonder. Yeah, right? Roll around in the corpse fields.
Right. Now, it does make you wonder, but that's what they did, man. They would, you know, a lot of them, you know, didn't get picked up and put into a hearse and taken to, you know, another gravesite. then yeah, they were buried right there on site. So the death tunnel, that always had, you know, a lot of mystery to it. A movie was actually made called The Death Tunnel. That was actually filmed there on site at Waverly Hills. And of course, there's, you know, some stories, you know, from the actresses and whatnot, you know, things that they saw, things that freaked them out, whatever.
You know what?
What?
There's one thing I respect about you when it comes to ghosts. You're a firm unbeliever. And I'm exposing you, right? You've exposed yourself on this podcast before. Sure. Penis and balls and all.
Wow. God, the camera wasn't rolling.
You've definitely exposed yourself as a skeptic.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
especially when it comes to ghosts and UFOs and cryptids and, you know, the fringe type stuff.
Sure. I'm just kind of one of those, you know, I'm going to believe it to see it type guys, I guess. If I experience see it to believe it, whatever, you know. Did I say believe it to see it?
Yes, you did.
Anyway, that's just kind of guy I am, you know. And if I see something, if I'm at a, because Waverly Hills is, you know, up there on my bucket list to, you know, go check out. And, you know, if I experience something that I, you know, using logic and, you know, a little bit of fucking science and, you know, it can't explain it, then I have no choice but to believe possibly what I experienced was paranormal. That's just where I'm at. I'm not like die hard, you know, non-believer or whatnot. Yeah. If I see something, cool. If not, I'm still going to be a skeptic.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very reasonable way to experience life. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, I've seen it, so I know it's real. Okay. So
we have the death tunnel. We have Timmy, which was a little boy, healthy little boy that I haven't come across anything that says, you know, he was sick. Unfortunately, his parents both had TB, and with nobody to care for little Timmy, he had to go stay at fucking Waverly. Now they're like a daycare.
Yeah, don't let the kids in. Right. It's a bad time to let kids inside.
And they did have a lot of kids that, you know, other than Timmy, young, small children that, you know, just had nobody else to take care of them. So they would be, you know, there. And little Timmy just run around. He liked to play ball with the nurses and, you know.
Right.
Timmy had a little bit of a tragic end. I think it could have been part design fault, but it just my opinion. I don't think you should let little kids sit there and play ball on, you know, the top of this building, which is, you know, five stories, five floors,
seems,
and they're on the
seems
roof.
Seems a little unsafe.
Yeah, where's just OSHA when you need them?
Right?
Just a smidge, yeah. I mean, there's pictures of, you know, swing sets and, you know, little kids, you know, just running around on the, you know, the fucking roof. And, well, as we can all imagine, that, you know, didn't turn out too well for Timmy. Apparently, the story is that he was kicking the ball, whatever, and I don't know if he, like, tripped, fell, whatever, over the edge and plummeted to his death. And it was speculated that there was a, you know, another inmate there. I guess you could call them inmates. They were pretty much prisoners, patient, whatever, that possibly pushed him. Wasn't he a convict or something?
Yeah, I think so. A resident.
A resident.
But someone who resided in the building, yes.
But I think they were able to, you know, take and squash that theory. I think it was just, you know, kind of a freak accident with little Timmy. But it said that little Timmy's ghost, you know, you can hear a bouncing ball in the hallways. And you throw the ball down the hallway and it bounces fucking back to you. You're playing ball with a little ghost boy.
Yeah. I call bullshit on that. I haven't been there. Yeah. I haven't been to a lot of haunted places, but I don't know. Do you want to go into ghosts now? Like, are ghosts real part two? We talked about this earlier before we started recording this podcast.
Yes.
That this might turn into our ghost reel part two.
Sure.
I think we all know where Otis B. Dredd stands on the argument.
Yeah, I don't think there's much confusion there.
No confusion. But I don't know, man. I'm the polar opposite. I think it's a real phenomenon. I don't think everybody can see ghosts. At the same time, I think it has to be the right time and place. You know, if you're in a very old house that hasn't seen human activity for 100 years and you're the first one to walk into it in 100 years, you might see a little psychic flash of, you know, a VCR replay of something that happened in the past.
Like interesting.
You know, I don't know how you think about it, but I know you enough, Otis, to know that you want to believe. So what's keeping you from believing in ghosts and that ghostly phenomenon are things that people experience? You just haven't seen it yet?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean, it's really that simple. I haven't experienced what you might catch in the, you know, 30, 45-minute show of, you know, ghost adventures or some shit, you know.
Right.
Which they're always catching something, and I've spent, you know, seven, eight hours, you know, overnight in a place in Pennsylvania, Hillview Manor, and that's just not enough time. Yes, I do. I'm kind of like, you know, I have the attitude like, you know, I'm like the Fox Mulder when it comes to this. You know, I want to believe.
Right.
You know, I think that would be cool. You know, if I could experience it, and I'm just not going to take someone's word for it. So yeah, basically just the seeing it thing is, I don't know.
So given that the people that have actually gone to Waverly Hills over the years and reported spirits or seeing spirits and recording EVPs and, you know, photographic evidence or just word of mouth evidence, do you discount people that take trips to places like Waverly Hills and their experiences? Do you discount those as just bullshit, or do you think there's something there? Because everybody that goes and does that kind of a ghost tour thing can't be bullshitting. There has to be like somebody that's telling the truth, like really had a supernatural experience.
I've seen, you know, whether it be amateur, whether these, you know, people really, you know, put together whatever. And I'm not talking about like the TV shows, you know, I'm talking about like YouTube videos of, you know, people going, taking their little paranormal team.
Right.
There's some things that I've seen that I was like, now that's interesting. You know, I don't say everything is bullshit. I think, you know, probably 90% of it could probably be explained. And then there's always that 10% where it's like, that's interesting. What?
90%. I'll take that. That's actually generous.
Yeah. Bullshit. Yeah. 90% bullshit, 10%, you know? Yeah. I do kind of buy into, you know, that theory. You know, our friend Bobby, who's, you know, been on the podcast in the past, you know, we were talking about this actually earlier this week. And, you know, can energy live in things like wood, you know, living things, you know, not like concrete or anything, or, you know,
right,
trees and things like that. And then, yes, at a certain time, you know, like the fucking stars align, then maybe you do get a glimpse, like you said, a rewinding of a, you know, a tape, and you see maybe what happened at that exact time fucking 100 years ago or something. Boom, now all of a sudden you get a glimpse. That's a very interesting and intriguing theory to me. Yeah, I won't shit on that. That's probably the only way that, you know, I would say, you know, yes, ghosts are real if that was true.
Right. I mean, I guess if anybody saw a ghost, they would believe that ghosts are real. But it's funny to me that a lot of times the best and most respected ghost sightings are often by, you know, police officers and shit, first responders, people that are on a job that saw something freaky. And right. It's always weird to me that when people report ghosts, it's almost always the ghost was dressed in vintage clothing from a different time.
Right.
Like clothing that you're not even used to seeing in everyday life. Like that's another one. There seems to be a strain through ghost, like really relatable ghost sightings that they're dressed in period dress.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like, you know, Stephen King's Pet Sematary, you know, the movie where, you know, the guy is hit by the car or whatever, you know, and then just starts appearing to the doctor, but he's dressed in the garb of that day type deal, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, you know, right along, because there was one of these five things that I, if I'm not mistaken, you said, you know, kind of creeped you out a little bit, and that was the story of the creeper.
Oh yeah,
in Waverly, with that creeped you out, all pun intended.
Yes, easy pun intended.
Yeah, why does that creep you out? Tell us what this creeper is. Basically, just a shadow, ain't it? Just a shadow person.
Yeah, it's like a shadow person that is almost like Spider-Man, though. It's the traditional demon that can crawl along the floor or crawl up on the walls and the ceilings and basically pursue you from any angle, so you're never safe from this thing, which is one of the creepiest kind of characters in horror. Something that can get you no matter what. I can crawl on the walls and the ceilings. Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched some, you know, pretty, you know, decent like demon type movies, and when they do that shit, that does creep me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like the aliens and, well, aliens.
Right. And it's said that this creeper is demonic.
Yeah.
No. Well, but there's no like real backstory to this thing like we have with you know, Timmy being, you know, something that, you know, you see or, you know, encounter.
Well, that's the terrifying thing about the concept of a demon. A demon doesn't need a backstory. It just kind of comes out of the dark world and terrorizes the living ones around it. So
why is there a fucking demon? Why is there a fucking demon in a TB hospital?
Well, a lot of death happened there, so
right.
It's a dark specter of death maybe that looms over that place. It's
attracted to death.
Yeah. Like a magnet.
Like a magnet.
This is a place where a lot of people died, and they didn't just die, they suffered and died. So there's you could make the argument that there could be a dark specter, a demon of death that haunts, you know, the grounds of Waverly Hills even to this day.
Wow. That was pretty fucking convincing.
Well, a lot of people die there.
The death just demon, saying. Just saying, seems to be a connection there.
One of the riders of the apocalypse.
So and then there's a another, I guess you would call this one more of a apparition, but there's been a sighting of a young nurse that worked there. Her name was Mary, and there's a couple of different stories on, you know, what happened here. One story is that she was having an affair with a doctor. And he was married, and she wasn't married. He was having the affair. So, she ended up pregnant. As that story normally, you know, goes. And I guess, you know, ended up. I don't know. She gave herself the abortion and then hung herself. But that's one side. And then another side of it is that she was held down because they had a couple movie theaters in Waverly. It was its own little city. For the most part, because it was a quarantined area. And So what one they, you know, the doctor and that got her pregnant, and I guess like four or five other, you know, attendants or other doctors, you know, took her down to one of the theaters, gave her an abortion, and she wasn't, you know, cooperating, obviously. So they literally, you know, put the noose around her neck, tied her up, and it said that the doctor was actually the one to kick the chair out from underneath of her. Which story do you think is more plausible? They both have some validity. I could see both of them happening. Well, I mean, but these are the two stories I've been hearing.
I can't even speculate. They're both so grim.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to appreciate any story for being true.
Right.
Yeah, I just can't.
Brutal.
I just can't see a doctor or anyone kicking the stool out from under a pregnant woman's feet and hanging her. I just can't see that. I don't know. I know I'm naive like that, but
evil knows no profession, sir.
That's true. We're living through some times.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't care to speculate on which one is true. What do you think?
I don't know, because you know, you don't hear a whole lot about the second one with the, you know, doctor kicking the chair out. You don't hear, but you do hear more of the fact that she, you know, literally hung herself, and she, you know, gave herself an abortion or whatnot, or something of that nature. But just being so distraught that, you know, she couldn't have, you know, her man, and now pregnant with this, you know, with his kid. So I don't know who's to say. Again, like, I, you know, it's very gruesome, you know, either way, sad on one aspect and very gruesome if it, you know, happened to be the latter version, the not so well known version. So we got a lot of death, as we've, you know, mentioned, a lot of death going on in this place. Tens of thousands of people is speculated. You know, I think upwards to like 60 some thousand people. They, you know, I've heard numbers that high. I've heard that those numbers are inflated. Have you come across any death count that was, because it's going to be kind of hard, I'm sure, to, you know, take and really get a, I don't know, zero in on a pretty accurate number. But what numbers have you seen floating around?
I've seen the same numbers that you've seen from, I mean, just dealing with the Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
I don't know the body count total for the TB outbreak at the time, but the fact that they had a body chute and a whole, you know, hallway leading to it,
yeah,
is kind of telling.
Yeah. So, they said sometimes, you know, numbers, one person would die an hour sometimes.
Right. So you can just imagine, like, it's hard to put a number on dead bodies, and we're kind of dealing with that right now. And, you know, our world and our time.
Right.
So to go back and speculate on how many people died without having the numbers, I'm not going to do that, but it was a fuck ton of people.
Yes.
A lot of bodies falling down that chute every day.
They used that chute. They said to, you know, like you said, had its own little isolated hallway, because they didn't want to, you know, damage the morale of the other patients, seeing people constantly being hauled by them that are dead. You know, that's kind of going to give them a bleak outlook, if not
right,
more bleak outlook on their own situation. So they kind of carting them off, you know, a little bit in secrecy, and, you know, down the chute they go. Have you ever, I want to, you know, just break off a little bit from, you know, Waverly in particular, but, you guys, you down there in the great state of Georgia, what kind of, you guys got a lot of haunted places around there? Tell me about some around there.
Well, we have a lot of, supposedly haunted battlefields from the Civil War. Mm. Other than that, there are not too many that I know of. I know Savannah is a very haunted place, supposedly.
I've heard Savannah, Georgia. About that,
Yeah, there's some stuff down there for sure. But as far as I know, you know, there's some local legends, but for the most part, it all revolves around Civil War battlegrounds. And if you want to go see some ghosts, we have plenty of battlegrounds here.
That's usually a, you know, what they say is, you know, a breeding ground because of all the tragedy and death that occurs.
Yeah, bodies that just lay down on the dirt and never had a proper burial. They just kind of rotted away. Yeah. So we have some of that going on. I don't know what the most haunted place in Georgia is, but
Savannah's up there.
Savannah's definitely up there on the list. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I like, and that's the thing, man, being as skeptic as I am, I love going to these places, but I go into it very, you know, skeptical. I don't, I mentioned this on, you know, the, our ghost reel before, that we did a while back, me and Mrs. Dreads. And, you know, I go into these places skeptical because I believe that if you go in there, you know, thinking, you know, it's in your head, I'm going to see something. Your mind's a pretty powerful thing. And
psychosomatic.
Exactly. And so it's that's why I go into it skeptical. And then, you know, if I walk away with, you know, scratching my head going, man, that one thing that we saw down there, that was strange. You know, there's no explanation for that. And then I'll just take it from there. You know, it's kind of a case by case kind of thing.
I kind of hate that, though. I hate the industry that's been built up around ghost seeking or trying to have a paranormal experience, because it doesn't work that way, at least in my mind.
Right.
A paranormal experience is going to be something that happens to you probably when you're by yourself and nobody else is home, or if somebody else is home, they're sleeping, so they're just like totally out of it. That's been my experience. Most people that experience or see something, smell something, have a moment that they can quantify as a paranormal experience. It usually is only them experiencing it. And then they have to relate that experience to somebody later. And of course, that person's like, oh, well, you just must have been half asleep or fucking drunk or high or what the fuck ever. But sometimes it's not that, you know. I believe that some people at certain times can see through the veil just for a moment in time and see something else. It could be a replay of something that happened 200 years ago, or it could be, you know, your grandfather coming back to you and saying something to you, or making a gesture at you as a full-bodied apparition.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the brain, to be clear. It's all in the brain, I think. But there are triggers, and I don't know. Are ghosts real? I don't know for sure.
Right, because that's all we can do is speculate. And, you know,
The notion of ghosts is true, is real, though. Right? A lot of people experience that.
Right. And, you know, as I mentioned, the, you know, again, when me and Mrs. Dreads did the Our Ghost Reel, you know, I mentioned, look, man, I'm not shitting on anyone who's had, you know, experiences and knows, you know, this is exactly what I saw. This is exactly what I went through. I know what I saw and are completely, you know, convinced of that. Not shitting on you at all. I have not, you know, the things that I always thought were, you know, growing up more paranormal were actually pretty much based in you know, reality.
Right.
So, you know, I was able to kind of, you know, just go through my own experiences. You know, I have had things where, you know, a dread was, you know, lifted up and dropped, you know, from behind me, like somebody had picked up and there was nobody in the bathroom and Jody was asleep. And there's some weird things that's, you know,
how do you
happen.
What do you account for that?
I honestly don't know. But that's why I'm on the fence. That's probably the one thing that I can't explain away with any kind of, you know, reason or, you know, fact-based, science-based, you know, rebuttal. I can't do it with that. I have no idea.
Right, and that's the great thing. I think life is better when you don't have all the answers. I think life is better when there is mystery and you want to believe, but you don't have proof. But you still want to believe. That's what makes us such great friends and freaks and geeks. That's why, you know, the horror community is so great, because not only do we like horror movies and true crime serial killers, we want to freak out together about just the nature of life and where are the boundaries, because life doesn't really have boundaries. And that's why ghosts are fun. It's fun to talk about places like Waverly Hills that might be super haunted, or they might not be at all. And it's just all in our heads, but there's a history there, and you know, it's interesting.
What is your take on all these like ghost adventure shows? I mean, honestly, what
they're bullshit.
Yeah, I mean that seems to, you know, because there are people that take this whole topic like ghost and things like that very, very seriously. You know, they monetize it. Yeah, they monetize it. They make money off of it. You know, going to, you know, different places and whatnot. So I don't know. It seems like it's done nothing but kind of shit on the ones that are kind of passionate, you know, about
going ghost hunting.
Yeah. It's kind of like shit real, in the face.
It is. Real paranormal investigators. And if you want to, you know, throw shade at that, go ahead. But the ones that are actually honest about it, you know, it's an affront to the real ghost hunters out there. The kind of sensation, it's like CNN and Fox News, it's sensationalizing the notion of the afterlife and ghosts being real and shit. It's making it into a joke, like pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
I don't think we should treat it like that, because I mean, look at what the times we're living in. People are turning to all kinds of different things for comfort. And maybe one thing we should talk about in these weird times that we're living through is the notion of an afterlife. What happens after you die? Does it all just turn black, or are ghosts real? Mm. If ghosts are real, doesn't that give you a little bit more hope for what might happen after you take your last breath?
Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Here's a... you know, and I think that's part of the intrigue and fascination, you know, because and playing on what you just said, if ghosts are in fact real, wouldn't it be kind of cool to know that, you know, I guess under the right circumstances, but possibly communicate with a past loved one?
Right.
Yeah,
I think spiritualist movement.
Right, I think that brings, you know, a lot of intrigue and interest, you know, into, you know, people almost forcing them their belief system in the way that ghosts are real for those exact notions, because they want to believe it, because they may be able to, you know, talk to, again, like, you know, your mother who's passed, your father, or, you know, whatever.
You can go as far back as you want.
Sure,
if you're talking about dead people.
Right. Yeah. So
it's a romantic notion to think that.
Right. And
about death.
You know, and you know, here's the thing too. When you get back to, you know, the whole monetizing and this whole ghost hunting thing has, you know, it's a business in and of itself. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the TV shows. This is one of the things I mentioned the last time we talked about this, and that is, okay, what's the chances that, you know, these places like a Hillview Manor, which I went, you know, you're talking over $1,000, you know, $1,200 to spend a night, you know, in one of these places that are supposedly haunted. Who's to say that, you know, anything, you know, there's just not some kind of scamming going on there. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, possibly even to the point, not saying that those at Waverly or Hillview Manor did, those, you know, guys were really great, you know, but who's to say that there aren't places out there that, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, booby trap, you know, certain places in there to get people to keep coming back. Like, oh man, this is the most haunted place, man. I heard this and this and that. And every time you go there, you're always, you know, hearing something, you're always experiencing something. Maybe because they fucking booby trap. And all that does is bring more people in, you know, to pay these, you know, outrageous amounts of money to, you know, experience right. a piece of history. And possibly, you know, spirits and demonic creatures crawling around on the fucking ceiling. I don't know. Being a skeptic, I guess, you know, I'm kind of skeptic of that whole business in general.
Oh, yeah. The ghost tour industry.
Yeah.
Look no further than if you want to see a bad example of that, go to New Orleans right now and take a ghost tour. They're going to charge you, you know, $50 ahead to take this little tour. And all they do is walk you around the streets of New Orleans and tell you some ghost stories. You don't see any proof. You know, they point out the house where this happened and that happened. And of course, yeah, it's a creepy story and horrible story, but you don't see any proof. That's the thing. I'm kind of sick of people monetizing the idea of ghosts and or paranormal interactions that you might have in your life, because when it really happens, when it happens to you, it's a very deeply personal thing and you can't recreate it. That's what pisses me off. Like, if a place is haunted, okay, it's haunted, but if you go in there with cameras and flashlights and a whole production crew, then you think you're really going to get some spiritual activity? No.
Right.
You've thrown the whole vibe off. And there is a vibe around haunted places. Like, you almost have to go in there and experience it with no cell phone, no camera on you, because you know you're not going to be able to take a picture of it if you see it. If something happens or you hear something, it's probably not going to be picked up on a recording, audio or video. Like, fuck EVPs. EVPs are bullshit.
I was going to ask you about, what you thought about some of, you know, this equipment, you know, that ghost hunters, you know, use. And some of it, it's just like, I don't know, like the whole deal where it cycles through the AM, FM, you know, frequencies, you know, real fucking quick, and then all of a sudden, sentences
pieces together
out.
A sentence.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's, I think it's all bullshit. I think their scientific thinking behind it probably has some kind of merit, because you're trying to interfere with signals to pick up the little noises in between the signals. So right. I kind of get what they're trying to do, but there's no substitute for experience. And the best evidence you'll ever get that ghosts are real, and I do believe that ghosts are real, the best evidence you'll ever get is from yourself. And if you don't have that evidence from yourself, then you're going to be a skeptic and you're going to think it's all bullshit until you have that moment. And once that moment occurs, and it doesn't occur for everybody, but if you do have a moment that you can't explain, then you will be one of those motherfuckers that says, I know what I saw.
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing. Because I know what I saw. I saw something and it was something that I still can't explain. So I'm in that camp.
You want to elaborate on that story before the white coats get here? On your experience?
Oh, sure.
Your paranormal experience. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go through it quickly. So this was shortly after my grandfather had passed away. And he was the first person that I lost in my life that I really felt. Like, I had lost a great grandmother before that, but she was so old and I was so young, I didn't really feel it. But when my grandfather died, we all felt it. And I to this day, believe that what I saw was his spirit or ghost just making a final appearance in my life. So I was living with my parents. I was like 14 years old at the time. We had been out for the day, come home, and everybody was asleep. I was in bed watching TV, had to get up and go pee. And as I was going to the bathroom, I turned and saw the form of a man in the hallway. And it was definitely shoulders, kind of broad shoulders, going down, and it kind of faded away under the shoulders, and a head. of a man and kind of in a military stance, like at attention. And I froze up when I left my bedroom and saw it. I froze for a second and just kind of backed into the bathroom, closed the door, locked it, locked myself in the bathroom, sat on the edge of the tub thinking about what I had just seen. You know, I got up and peed and, you know, got done with what I was doing in there. And I remember opening the bathroom door, not looking back where the apparition was, and just going straight back to bed, covering my fucking whole head with the blanket and trying to go to sleep.
How old were you?
13, 14 years old.
So yeah, that's one of those. Yeah, yeah, that's one of those. I know what the, you know, fuck I saw, you know, and obviously at 13, 14, there was no drugs or alcohol and, you know, involved, nothing to, you know, distort your perception or anything. So, you know, that was
right.
And then it also being someone, you know, as dear to us as, you know, a grandparent, a mother and a father, you know, those types of, you know, deaths are, well, they're traumatic. You know,
yeah.
Regardless.
And I've thought about that.
And you see that, you know, and it's like, wow.
I've thought about whether it was just the trauma of losing somebody for the first time, somebody I was close to, you know, manifesting itself just in my grief or right. whatever. But I don't remember suffering like grief wise so much when he died. Cause we, you know, he was a pretty old dude. It wasn't like out of nowhere. It's like grandpa died and it was really sad, but it wasn't like something that kept me up every night because he died young or, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's like grandpa died and yes, it's sad, but
unfortunately you saw it coming with his age, maybe, you know, failing health or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, there you have it. I don't know if you've ever told this. I think we might have gone into it the last time we tried to do AR Ghost Reel Part 2.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, numerous times. But, you know, I guess the only thing you can take away from, you know, our babbling about, you know, ghost is, you know, it is a personal experience on a lot of different levels. And that I think all of us are kind of, you know, really in the same camp as, you know, believe it when I see it. Most people that are, you know, really, you know, firm in their belief of ghost and whatever, you have probably had experiences.
You're either in the camp of you believe or you don't believe. That's kind of how it goes with ghosts and your belief in them.
Right. So, you know, it's a, you know, interesting, you know, I think topic of discussion, cause it can, you know, we really don't know. There hasn't been that, you know, definitive proof that, okay, this is an actual ghost. We see lots of things that, you know, could be considered compelling, but I don't think we've come across really, other than, have you seen the Gettysburg?
I sent you the Gettysburg ghosts, man.
Yeah, well, I've seen that, you know, years ago too. Yeah, where they're, you know, marching in the woods and whatnot.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the most compelling ones I've seen.
And I think that shot, that video was taken with like a camcorder, like an old style camcorder, and it has been put through the ringer by numerous video analysts and whatnot. They cannot find any tampering at all, no kind of photoshopping going on. So that's pretty fucking compelling right there.
Isn't it also compelling to think that if that's real, then these guys, if it's real, then we're watching a replay of these guys marching towards a battlefield.
Yes.
Where they knew that they were going to die. Like there was no doubt about it. Maybe they were the frontline infantry. They were marching towards the battlefield and they knew they were just cannon fodder.
Right.
Maybe that's why it replays, like the desperation of knowing that, well, this is my last march. Mm-hmm. Maybe that replays sometimes when the atmosphere is just right. That little moment in history replays itself, even if it's something you could walk right through and not a ghost that can attack you or, you know, haunt your house. It's just kind of a hologram of something that happened in the past. That's just kind of replaying that sad moment over and over again. Yes. Isn't that the most compelling thing?
That video?
Well, just or the
just,
notion.
Just what you said, the notion. No, that's very compelling. Yes, I agree 100%. Because, you know, anybody who hasn't watched it, I if you're into paranormal, and I think most people that are into the paranormal have probably already seen this video, but I would highly suggest, you know, to go check it out anyway, because it does look like a hologram. And you can tell that these are soldiers. Again, there's that period dress you were talking about. You could tell they were marching in formation. And
there's horses.
It almost looked like they were going uphill. It was really strange, just out of the blue, you know, this family, you know, out there, you know, experiencing some history. And bam, next thing you know, I think the story behind it was they were having a picnic or something.
Yeah, and you can tell by their little commentary, like, oh my God, what is that? Oh, look.
Right.
Like, you can tell just in their voice that they're witnessing something that's not normal, let's just say.
Very, very crazy. Very crazy. Good talk, though. Good discussion. Hopefully Don is doing well with his landscaping detail and his...
He's doing a good job out there.
Is he? Does he weed eat?
He's pulling them out by hand. He doesn't have a weed eater. He's just like old school in it, pulling the weeds out.
I figured he'd do it, you know, with his teeth or something. You never know what them yellow pills would do to you, man.
That's true. His hands are bleeding, though.
Oh, wow. All right, SJ. Thank you, sir. That's episode 62 in the bag. Don't forget to check out TrueCrime7.store, NightLivingDreads.com, Spotify, Stitcher. We're also over there on Facebook. We'll see you then.
No one knows. We're going to die.